All right, so we are on Tzurba D'Rabbanan, the Shir 9 in Volume 9, the Laws of Arba Minim. Because we discuss selected halachos of the Lulav, selected laws of the Etrog, clear laws of the Hadassim, and selected halachot of the Aravot. Okay, selected being the operative word. Should I say one thing? I heard a fantastic Shir from Rav Leibovitz, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of YU. We spoke about... Says, you know, that we during Shofar, so in Rosh Hashanah, so Akedat Yitzchak, right? He has a central part in the Davni. Makes sense. The Shofar of Yitzchak, etc., we blow Shofar on Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah. But then you come into the Seder that you made Shuvah and all the Slichas, and every day there's another story of Akedat Yitzchak. So what's Akedat Yitzchak doing? He said, you made Shuvah. Akedat Yitzchak was good for Rosh Hashanah. Why are we carrying Yitzchak? So, he says like this, very, very briefly, I don't know, it wasn't his idea, but he says like something along these lines, that when Avraham Avinu came to the Akedah, so the Malach stopped him, right? And then after the Malach stopped him, then he brought him Ayil, right? And he says it was in the Svach, and he shechted the Ayil. And then another Malach came and gave him the Brocha, that because you shechted the Ayil, now you'll get your family, whatever, all the other Brochas that he gets. The question is, why does he get the brocha after he shech the ayil? Big deal. Imagine if God had told him, go, you get up in the morning early, going to step all the way off to Har HaMoriah and go shech the ayil. What's the big lishon ayil? The big schut was, he's going to shech his son. He never shech his son. So he says, like this, the chidush is that sometimes the big challenge, you know, of Rosh Hashanah, of going to shech your son, that everyone can find the strength to do. Now you can, you got like a big challenge ahead of you, you can prepare yourself, you go for the question, what happens the next day? After it's done. Now, how do you keep that momentum going? So that's why the brocha was after he shechted the ayil. I could have said, fantastic, I'm going to shech my son. Okay, thank you, God. I did the stuff and I got in my car and I went home. But no, he stuck around and he shechted the ayil. So the Aser Tumei Tshuva is, we came from Rosh Hashanah. We had the high of Rosh Hashanah. We now on the Akedat Yitzchak, it's not the Yitzchak now. Now we're on the ayil. Shechting the ayil, we've got to maintain that every single day. So it's relevant that we're discussing the halachas of Lulav, because the truth is that we are certainly made true when we're going into Yom Kippur. And straight through, is in this book over here? Yeah. The halacha, if I'm not mistaken, the halacha straight after we have Rosh Hashanah, then we have Yom Kippur, and the halacha straight after Yom Kippur, what's the halacha straight after Yom Kippur? Building a sukkah. After Yom Kippur, we pull into the Arvi, from where we have dollar, b'chan and adat, shech losif michol lakolish, v'varchin la'or, etc., etc., etc. And then straight away, building a sukkah. You go from mitzvah, the whole idea is trying to maintain that whole story. So it's relevant that we just come out of Rosh Hashanah now, and we're busy learning Hilchot Lulav and sukkah, because that's how we're keeping this whole momentum going. So it's not just dumb that Adam gave us this order over here to do the Lulav. I'm trying to understand why we're doing Lulav and Etrog now. Now we come out of Rosh Hashanah, while we're learning about Yom Kippur. Anyway, we did Yom Kippur a little bit, but anyway, okay. That was just a little idea there, which took up 3.5 minutes. All right. So now, we're starting with on page number 279 in the volume 9. Masechet Sukkah on Daf Lamed Bet. So all of you here, have just quite a few here, have just finished Masechet Sukkah in the last couple of weeks. So we're all experts. We'll see what experts we are in a second. All right. So the Gemara is like this on Daf Lamed Bet. Bayra Papa. We're talking about Lulav now. Right, so we've got Lulav. I truly told you, I actually wanted to bring Lulav. I couldn't get Lulav. I wanted to actually bring a Lulav today, but the Lulav only being delivered in a few days' time. It would be nice to actually arrive here with Lulav and actually do Lulav, but the next best thing to look at is the picture. You know, I've got to be in charge of it. Look at the Lulav over here. This is a Lulav. Now, all of you here, everybody in this room, I think, at least held the Lulav at least once in their lives, in their hands, right? So you know that the Lulav, if you take the Lulav leaves, like you look, each leaf is like a double leaf. Now, every leaf of the lulav is a double leaf. Halacha lemaaseh, we'll see in a second. If it hasn't got a double leaf, it's pasul. Okay? So now the question, what happens if those leaves split in half? So we all know as kids, everybody goes and you go up by a lulav, and everyone looks at the top and makes sure the two top things are closed, right? You all know that, right? Everyone knows it, right? The two top, the middle ones have to be closed. Maybe not. Okay? We all know that. Let's look what the halacha says. So now, you've got this lulav over here. And you've got what's called the tiomet. So these pieces together, the double part of the branch is called the tiomet. Okay, that's with the fold. That two things are tiomet. And you've got tiomets on all the sides. You've got the one right in the middle. And you've got the spine of the lulav stops at a spot. and the leaves like carry on top of it, right? Okay. So take a look very quickly, then we'll do it inside the word. Take a look. Can you all see over here? We've got different opinions. Can you see over here the middle one? Have you got your book here, Michael?
No, your classes.
Huh?
What page is it?
Are you going online? Okay. Oh, brilliant. You know what? Should we do that quickly? So yeah, just have a look here with me quickly. We can go through a few things. So first thing, you see in that picture there. You know what? It's worth actually taking a second and actually walk around. It's not much worth looking at. You can see over there, right? This is there, the two lines there. This is the middle one. And it's split, not the whole thing, it's split like less than halfway up. Can you see that? So there's one shikra, and if it's split less than halfway up, can you see that this is the whole middle leaf? It's split from there, less than halfway up. Okay? Less than halfway up. You all see that? Over there, less than halfway up. Mm-hmm. That's one shikra. There's another opinion over here, and that is, here, you see there? It's split from all the way down there. So it's split for more than halfway up. Okay? Then, there's another. Then over here.
Over the courses look like it's split.
Okay, we're discussing the first day now. Good point, we'll get to the second. Right? So here, that's the Ritva and the Run. You see just the middle piece over there all the way down. Rashi says like this. Alright, that Shnali Elyonim Emtim should only from where the end of the spine. The spine ends and then the leaves come up, right? So you see that splits from there. Right? In other words, from right at the bottom where the spine actually is, not all the way up. So you get an idea, lots of different opinions. Now, another opinion, the Taz we'll see in a moment, says that it has to be completely broken off. And that's what makes it possible. Okay, you got the idea? Okay, let's look in the look. So now, the Gemara said like this. So now remember, that piece called the Tiomet. The question now is, where is this thing split open or broken, or what is the case of what's going on? It goes like this. Bayer, Papa asked a question. Nechleka Tiomet, what's the story? What is this Tiomet split? So he says, you know what it is? Let's bring a proof from a brighter Toshma. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Nitlater Pasul. If it's taken off, it's Pasul. That wasn't our question. What was our question? If it's split, where is the brighter? If it's broken off, then it's Pasul. Right? So he says, my love, who adin, isn't it the same dense as the Gemara? If it's broken off, it's split. The Gemara says, no. Nitleshani, when it's taken off, it's different. That's called chaser. That's called a lulav that's lacking. The difference between a lulav where the tiomet is split or a lulav where it's lacking a tiomet. Okay, they're not the same. It could have the rest on the other hand. No, yesh or min. There's another way to learn this Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Nechleka ha-tiomet na'aseh kemishli da-tiomet. If it's split, as if it's taken off. So there are two versions in the Gemara. The one version is a kula, which says, no, there's a difference between if it's broken off or to when it's split. And the other version of the Gemara says that if it's split, it's if it's taken off. Which means that they're actually the same thing. Okay? So that's really the story which we saw now. Now, we're going to see a machloket Rishonim, Rambam and Rif. Okay? They more or less go together here. Rashi, the Ritva. Okay, we'll see the Shulchan of Paskins. So now, The Rambam, now it's not really in the Rambam, to be honest. If you read the Rambam says like this, Briat Alin Shalulav Kachi, the way that it grows is as follows. Kishayim Gedalin, Gedalin Shtaim, Shtaim, Vrukim Mimikavan, Vagav Kol Shnari, that Vrukin Hunikrat, Tiomet Nechlekatu, Erat, that's called they grow up in these double leaves all the time. And if the Tiomet Nechlekai, if it splits, it's Rashi, it's Pasu. Hayu Elav Achat, Achat Mitchilat Briat, or if in the first place they grew not being double, they're singles, Velo Yalim, they were never doubled, Pasu. So a lula that was like a deformed lula that grew without the doubling up was always pasul, and then a regular that grew, if it split up, it's pasul. Now, look over here in the introduction, it says in a bit of the Rambam, according to the Magid Mishnah. It's not actually pshat, because according to the Rambam, what it says is over here, is it split, it's pasul, right? Look at the Magid Mishnah. According to the Magid Mishnah, that only if most of the lula and the lula are split, they have open, does it become invalid. Now, nobody's saying the Rambam that's most. The Magid Mishnah understood it. Now, the Magid Mishnah is very, very, very important. Probably one of the most important, what they call the Nosei Kalim. You know what Nosei Kalim is in Hebrew? Like the guy carries the tools. So you've got the main boss. Imagine you've got, we're from Africa, right? So you've got the boss, the worker, and all his black staff running behind him, right? Those are called the Nosei Kalim, guys carrying the tools. Then Havdil Elif Avdalot, on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Rambam, you've got the main body of the Shulchan Aruch, and you've got all the commentaries on the side, the main ones. You've got the main, you've got the Rambam, the main commentary on the side. You've got the Beit Yosef discussed him, right? Is the Kesef Mishnah, right? And then you've got the Magan on 6 out of the 14 is the Magan Avraham. Okay, he was a Spaniard, name is Vidal de Telusa. And he was 150 years after the Rambam died. Now, he's considered, honestly, one of the most important Mefarshim on the Rambam, but we haven't got all of his books. The Magen Avraham understands that the Rambam is talking about only if it's the majority. Okay? I'm not sure exactly how I get it, but let's remember that the Rambam says only the majority. So this is the case over here. So it would have to be torn, broken, all the way from down here. If it's not the majority broken, there's no pasul. It's important to know that. Most of us are not broken, but Rambam is pasul. According to Magen Avraham, it's mutar. Okay. Rashi says like this. Rashi says, what do you mean when it says the Gemara says that the two of them are split? Shnei adin eliyon, the two top ones. Shnei elin eliyon, the two top ones, meaning the top ones. Emtzim in the middle. Sheshama shidra kala, where the end of the spine is. Nechleku zemizeh, v'nistaka shidra ada halin shlamata mihen. It has to be like this. That's what Rashi says over here. This is the picture of Rashi's version over here. Uh-huh. Rashi says that it has to be broken off here from the spine. What?
What number?
What number? What picture? Sorry, picture number 383 on page 103. If you got the things there, right? If you all got your PDFs, right? So that's Rashi. Nechlekuat yobish to Rashi. Shnalin elyonim emtzaim. Shama shidra kala, where the spine ends. Nechleku zem is even istaka shidra adalin shlamatim him, all the way down the bottom. That's quite a kula that. It has to be like properly broken. Okay? Thank you, Rashi. And then you've got the Ritva. The Ritva is from the Beit Midrash of the Ramban, the Spaniards as well. V'yeshtomar dahatam kashircha ruba aval nezdak miuto tam yishol kasher. He says there's a difference where the majority is split, for the minority is split, i.e. at its tips, it's kosher, and it's become like a fork. So if it starts looking like really, you know, like all odd shapes, you see some lulavim go like this, you know, like at the top, they come out like that, then it's pasul, otherwise it's fine. Okay, so the bottom line is, we see over here that quite a bit, look at the Shulchan Aruch now, how he sums it up. So it's not we discussed it before, one of the very first room that we gave in Orach Chaim. Remember the Shulchan Aruch, we said he goes essentially after the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. Those are his three primary sources. So we already saw how the Rambam and the Rif go together, right? Who the Rashi going to pass it like Rambam and the Rif. Now I'll tell you a little secret. I think I'm not sure, but I think it's around about 90% of halacha. I think we discussed this. Rambam and the Rif are the same. So you got to be like really difficult to pass it against Rambam and the Rif, because about 90% of the time they're the same. So the Rambam, so more or less, the Shulchan also pass like Rambam and the Rif. Okay, that's basically a rule of thumb. Not always, but rule of thumb. See, Sukhar is like this. Briat alin shalulav kachi. This is matched word for word from the Rambam, right? Look at number three, then look at number six. Briat kashayim gedalim shnayim v'dukim megavan. Exactly this is almost word from the Rambam. The gav shashdayin hu anikrat yomet. Nechrat yomet. And yeah, he says, berov ha'alin. The majority. So the Rambam understood, even though it's in brackets if you look. The Rambam seems to understand like the Magid Mishnah. The Sukhar Aruch Sarkum Mishnah. Nechad yomet raat psula hayu adin achat achat mitchla beto, if they were from the beginning, always pasul. And then the Rama adds on v'yesh mefarshim lomar dim nechleka ha'ila ha'elyon ha'emtzai. Right, this sounds like Rashi, right? She'ala shidra ada shidra mikri chabim psal v'achinu hagen. That's how we know hag. So the Rama says that's how we are know hag. Right, mi ulechad chile mitzvun amuvchar no hagen itolulav shlo nechlak ala ha'elyon klal ki yesh machmin afilu benachlat ktsat benichlak ktsat. So the Rama says we're pretty machmir, even though we see here that the Rishonim are all quite makil. We're pretty machmir lechad chile for hidur mitzvah as well, and because all some Rishonim says who are machmir, they should be very very tight. If im oto ha'ala eno kafu mitchlat piyato pasu, right. So ever, if it wasn't double over there, the Rama agrees them. But you see how the Rama is saying it's more of a chumrah. Really, nikar adin, most of the love makasha. Okay? It's important to know that. All right. Now, they say that the Bach, who's one of the Nosei Kadim on the tour, he was the father-in-law of the Taz, we discussed that before, at the circus, right? And the Vilna Gaon, and the Mishnah Brura, right? All of them, the Rama, his final correction to use the Lulav, he's not spread all reading like the Ritva and the Rashba, that even if most of the middle leaf is open, it is pasul. I don't know how he gets that, to be honest, I don't understand from the Ritva. But anyhow, that's what Zevia. We don't have to go into the grind now, which I think we've got a very, very good picture. I'll be honest with you, I don't like doing this. Normally, I like to get involved more in the Lomdas, but I think tonight it's better. We've got the picture, Shukran Chepaskim, we've got a pretty good idea. The only thing I want to show you is the Taz. The Taz says like this. He says, even if we follow the Ramah, it's permitted for the tiyomet to be open as much as a tefach. It's an hour grazer, be honest. That's what the Taz writes. And you've got to make heel. Right? It's like the chayvan de ze eno posel, so since doesn't make it pass through the split, nirah da'af b'shiru pachot mi tefach en shum svara lachmir. There's no reason in the world to be machmir. It's less than a tefach. If it's split less than 8 centimeters, right? No problem to be machmir. Befrat sherova poskim, and specifically because most of the poskim svir leid ein la'alem tzeichum ribezeh rak betziruf rov ha'alin v'ayinu berov kol alav alav alam anachmir bal. He says, but why go crazy? Okay? So now they bring over here, they don't quote the inside, but in the notes they write over here, which is worth reading. I mean, it's all worth reading, but this is actually, I think, important. This is a good summary. Other than he says, the Chaye Adam. Right? This Rav Danziger, I've discussed him before. Right? That those who wish to achieve the highest level of Hidur Mitzvah, let's be honest, Sukkot is all about Hidur Mitzvah. Right? That's Sukkot is about Hidur Mitzvah. We spend money on the love, spend money on the Etrog, we go to town a bit, Hidur Mitzvah, we want to serve Hashem in the best way. You know, we learned in Masechet, what did we just finish now? In Sukkah. We so learned there about the lul, about the shavu. We mentioned there the issue of, we mentioned the shir here, sorry, about lang shavu last week. We said there about larbevet asatan, remember? We said all the time, blah, blah, blah. To be honest, I never quite understood what it meant larbevet asatan. I heard a brilliant shir of Herschel Shechter, Rosh Hashanah, why you came. He said, why do we mean larbevet asatan? It's Rashi pshat in the Gemara. If you just learn, look at the Gemara, it's in Rosh Hashanah, we'll get to it. But he says over there, quite Rashi says, why larbevet asatan? He said, because the satan comes to God and says to him, look, your people don't want to keep your mitzvahs, and they aren't interested in things, and you think they're so great. So we dafka come here on Rosh Hashanah, we blow 3 or 4 times more than we're meant to blow. Meant to blow how many? 9, 10 shofar blows. We blow 100, 10 times more even. But maybe there's a machloket, what's what? So that's why we blow beforehand, and we blow afterwards. That's like Rebbe Satan. We show to the Satan that we do much more mitzvahs than we're supposed to do. That's mixing up the Satan. He can't come and have times with Hashem. I think it's so too when it comes to Levet, right? It's a time when we're going to war, we're going to fight, we come on Yom Kippur, we want to do it properly, we want to do it okay. So he says over here, says the Chai Adam says, the highest level of Hidur should be stringent, that the central leaf should be entirely closed, like the simple meaning of the Ran and the Rama. Okay? And the Rama says at the end of the day there, we saw the Rama said that we should be Machmir, and we should do it. He said, basically, the Achronim disagree with the proper practice on this issue. Some are careful to buy lulav where the middle leaf is completely closed, the Chai Adam. Others allow using lulav which is open, less than one tefach, the Taz. Some are using lulav only a minority of the tiyomet is split, like the Graal Mishtabura, and some allow in cases not even where the entire tiyomet is split, as long as the majority of the leaves are closed, like Aruch HaShulchan. Whichever approach we must still understand, the reason is for the disqualification of a lulav due to problematic tiyomet, according to us, for the reason that it is a pasul, said it is not considered hadar. And I think that's really the ikar. You must think it's a puzzle. All the lulavim that we're going to see on Sukkot, right, are really going to be kosher lulavim. You see the Rishonim here, it's very hard to pass the lulav. Let's be honest, very hard. But there's Indian of Haidu.
Would it be sort of lenient?
Like I said, I think that it's not the Ramah is the more Machpi one, the Eastern European ones are the more Makil ones. I don't think it's an Eastern Europe story here at all. Wait till we get to that jogging, we'll see. Okay. So that was the issue of the lulav. Now, quickly, discuss a bit of the etrog. So the etrog, they go straight into Shulchan Aruch Avi and Rochaim Tafresh Memchet. It says Shur etrog katan pachot mekabeit the pasul. Now this is actually quite right. We learned this in the verse. This is a Gemara, right? This is a Mefurash Gemara in. Didn't I write what page the picture was in again? On page 124. Look, here's a picture, right? There's an egg. Okay, so that's the smallest size of a kosher etrog is the size of an egg. If you have a size of a nut, it's pasul. On the upper side, on the other hand, big etrogim, there's no limit. We know some people have seen these Tamani etrogim, these huge etrogim. There's no limit. The smallest etrog you can have, come on, best size of a beta. Okay, so that's interesting to know. But im kabeit zefulim hu boser sha'adayin lo nigmar piyokash, even if it isn't fully ripe yet, right? Long tree grown to bet from Iva Yagado, kosher, as big as it can get, it can be. Now we get into the issue, a real, real issue, and that is the issue of crossbreeding, of what they call Harkava, grafting of etrogim. Now, I don't know how much any of you know this. I don't know this. I happen to learn every day with a guy whose name is Ishkoli, right? And he's not just Ishkoli, his grandfather was a citrus farmer. That's where they get out, picks and farms in Kfar Saba. And we discussed in quite a lot of detail. It turns out that I think almost every single fruit in Israel is grafted. There's hardly any thoroughbred, purebred citrus fruit. It doesn't exist. They don't work. They don't work. They're all grafted. The problem halachically, by the way, grafting is a lucky problem, not simple. But the question is, when it comes to etrog, it's more difficult. Because besides the issue of grafting, you haven't got a pure etrog. And once the Torah decided, once the Chachamim decided, what the Torah meant was, Priyat Sadar is an etrog, you have to have an etrog. If you've got a half etrog, half lemon, or half etrog, half lime, or half etrog, half, I don't know what, it's not an etrog. You need an etrog. So real problem becomes a thoroughbred, or purebred, or whatever you call it, etrog. So here, Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen Cook wrote an entire book called Eitz Hadar, right? The tree of Hadar, in which he rules that one should use only an etrog which is not grafted. Mishnah Berurah as well writes that a crossbred etrog is invalid. Pasul. If we're buying an etrog, the first priority to show the fruit is in true etrog and a grafted fruit. Mishnah Berurah starts poskim, who give up four signs which to identify a purebred etrog. If he argues that one must also have a tradition of etrog in question is not grafted. And he quotes the Chatam Sofer over here. The Chatam Sofer, he's brought here, there's a long Mishnah Berurah here. Let's take a moment, look at Mishnah Berurah here on page 286, 15, not 15, Mishnah Berurah. It says, Yesh Gimel Siman Shalchalach Yirgim Humur Kavolo. There are three ways we can tell today if an etrog is pure or not. One, Ki Amur Kav Chalak. A grafted etrog is smooth. Right? Right? The etrog blitot ktanot, but a real etrog has got bumps. The whole gufa of a govelem, and they stick out. We know that, right? Etrog has all got that protrusion. So if you've got a smooth etrog, it's not an etrog. That's sign number one. Sign number two, Hamurkab, ha'oketz bolet, the grafted one, the oketz, the thing at the bottom, right? Like sticks out completely. I mean, honestly, I look at all these pictures of here, I didn't find one where I could, so like we never came across in the Gemara, I don't know where it comes from. But he says the thoroughbred ones, the purebred ones, the oketz is more deeper inside. There's a little part sticking out, because but it sticks out less, I suppose. And then three, ki toch hamurkab rachav. Says that yeah, the inside of the grafted one is very wide. The inside, v'hamol shlo rab, and lots of juice, very juicy. V'hakipla hamemutzaat, right? Now you know you've got the thick outer peel. Then when you peel that off, it's got like a membrane almost. Yeah, like an orange. Also, you've got that like white outer peel, and then inside that is still the fruit cuticle. You know that little pieces of the fruit, the parts of the fruit. That's also like another layer around it. So he says that we have the grafted ones, the outer layer is thin, and the fruit inside is big. The purebred etrog, like we know, most of it is skin. You take an etrog, a proper etrog, and you peel it, it's got like a 1.5 centimeters of skin, and like very little inside, and it's hardly any juice, it's very like not juicy. Etrog aren't very juicy, that's why they make jam from it. They don't really make, I don't think anybody makes etrog juice. You ever see anybody make etrog juice? I've never seen it. Liqueur? Okay, liqueur. But that's not from the skin. I was going to say that's from the skin, not from the actual fruit itself. So the etrog fruit itself, but is not really a fruit we use. It's the skin, if anything, to use. He says it over here, I think. He says like this: Shehein chadra azirim akli bedaka veetrog hug lehefech ki aklipa avah, it's very thick, v'atoch katzar, the inside is very thin, v'hu kimat very dry. He says over here, v'lat shabat katab otziman etrog garin zakuf. He says other things about how the peel goes. The bottom line, he says like the Mishnah Berurah, v'chatab b'tshuvat chatam sofer chelik aleph. Simon kuf pegim etrogim shlim simanim shebachutz tahanu okay shakur b'davei b'lola. Right, hefech mizel mashmu mizel im yesh lo rak siman echad. Says it seems even if there's one siman shmurashu etrog v'siman sheni moreshu murkav kagon shu chalak v'oket shlo shokaya yesh lachmir misvayki. There's only one siman you may machmir called a svayka. Kach to be more b'ktsia that should be Yaakov Emden Sefer called more b'ktsia. He paskins there as well. Okay, however. Says the other Mishnah Berurah, b'siman reis zayin b'pak pekach hatam sofer ma'od binyan ha'simanim. He's very concerned about these simanim. Acharei shelo nizkru b'shas, there's no mention in the Gemara. We never learned that with the speech for second sukkah. There's no mention there about the simanim of a kosher etrog, right? We never saw that anywhere. There wasn't anywhere three simanim of a graft. It wasn't discussed this in the Gemara at all. So the Chatam Sofer is very concerned not to get excited about this idea of simanim. He says, and therefore you need a Masorah. Okay, you need a Masorah. Now, I know we've got a hell of a lot to get through today, and I'm already over time. I'm going to take 3 or 4 minutes very quickly. When it comes to Masorah, so I was very interested about this question of Masorah. As I mentioned, there's a Ludmir family who are, I don't know, how many generations of Etrog farmers. The great-great-great-grandfather, over 200 years ago, came to Tzfat. He ended up becoming the Dayan in Tzfat, but he came as a very quiet guy. They discovered the Dayan of Tzfat. Then after they started trading etrogim, it wasn't yet farming of etrogim. Even though if you look in the Encyclopedia of Agricultural Halakha, they've got sources there that go back that for over 1,000 years, from Goyisha sources, that etrogim were grown in Israel, in Caesarea, in Yafo, and I think in Svat. Did I write that down? I took up Yerushalayim, Caesarea, Yafo, and Od. There you go. Over 1,000 years ago, they got proof, Goyish proof of etrogim growing ish over 1,000 years ago in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, Caesarea, Yafo, and Od. Right? Encyclopedia Hilchatit Chakait. I'll send you the link. No. I'm not because you don't believe me yet. I would have handed it. I've done time now. We've gone through it. I'll send you the link. It's worth having. So now, Ludmir family, the story is first. I said to him, like this, very nice. So you guys have been growing etrogim here for, I don't know, 100 years. Where's the Masorah? How do you know that your etrogim are kosher etrogim or not cross etrogim? He says to me, unbelievable story. He says, the one etrog, there was a Masorah. There was a near Umulfachim, not far from here. There were etrogim trees there for hundreds of years. That there was, it was a Masorah, those are good etrogim, and they started growing those etrogim. Then, now listen to this, during the time of the Chazon Ish, not so long ago, Allah, 50, 60, 70, how long ago did the Chazon Ish die? 50, 60, 70 years ago? I don't know, maybe 80, I don't know where it died. Right? It says like this, it said they had in the end, they ended up farming 5 different strains of etrogim. So the one was from Umm al-Fakhim, which was near this village, Arab town of, yeah? Then, he says, there was a gadol by the name of Michal Yude Lefkowitz. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Ponovitz Tzairim, the Rosh Yeshiva for kids of Ponovitz. You heard his name? You know his nickname, right? He was known as Yude Lefkowitz, and the zan that they had was called Reb Yudela. That was the zan. Now, this Reb Yudela had a tree, right? This Reb Yudela had a tree, and the Chazon Ish said that this tree, there was a Masorah, they used this tree. I don't know where they got the tree from, and Chazon Ish gave it, and they Dacharit gave it a Heksha. There was another tree that came, I think, from Yerushalayim, a guy called Pinchas Epstein. He was the head of the Eidah Haredit. That he had a tree in his garden. And also I saw that these trees were going to Chazush, also approved their trees, and they had an Eidah Haredit garden in the Heksha. They were not grafted. Then there was another tree of Halperin, known as the Halperins. I think those are from Yerushalayim, actually. Then listen to this. The issue with Taimanim, he says, that the Taimanim, another tree, also Braverman, of Braverman, right? And this one, he had got the tree from the Brisker Rov's house in Yerushalayim, that he had a Masorah that was a kosher, also got an Eidah Haredit Heksher that was a grafted. So basically, we discussed it. The one had a Masorah of Umafachim, others really seemed like a Ruach HaKodesh Aviyah. Right? Because you're relying on the Chazon Ish and other Gedolim like that. No real 1,000-year Masorah. But nonetheless, they had Masorahs, and those are the ones Israel that have got. Then, the Taimani etrogim that came from Taiman, they didn't want to give Masorah. Even though the Taimani, in fact, have grafting been done for a long time, I mentioned the Gemara grafting. In Taiman, they never do the practice of grafting, apparently. So one could rely to a great extent on the Taimani etrogim that were brought over with them. There's a guy tells me over here, his name was Sadia Masori. He came before the Aliyah of Taiman, he came by foot, knew how to shasof by heart. Huge time in Chochem, and he brought with him etrog, he brought seeds or leaves, whatever the case was, and he grew them in Eliachin, yeah, also not far from us, near in Tel Mond, in Moshav Eliachin, and there the Eidacharid agreed to give those also a heksha of things. So those are the 5 etrogim that they grew, or had some kind of a Masorah that they weren't grafted. Unbelievable, eh? That's a real life story of today. And like I said, these guys were big farmers. I got to know them because they had a big prior to see me at one stage in Eben Yehuda, and I tried to do some business with him. I wasn't very successful. We became good friends. He has a common birthday with my wife and Arizuka, as it happens. Every year we speak on their birthdays. And now they're very big property developers, okay, in Petach Tikva, in Eben Yehuda, in Bnei Brak. And they're out of there. 7 years ago, they're out of the etrog in business. After, I don't know how many generations. 7 years ago, they're out of the etrog business. Okay. So I imagine Aaron's got a good point. If they thoroughbred etrogim, grafted with each other to give it a proper, like different zanim, to strengthen it and give it a different grade, that might be okay. But maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm a Pascal Locha. But just that's the real issue with etrogim. Now, those are things which we can't check. You know, if it's got spots in it, if it's got, we'll see, like a rash on it, if the piton's broken off, if the ochre's taken out, those are things that you can see. But it's all very nice. You've got a beautiful etrog that's not a kosher etrog, and you spend $1,000 on it, and you worry that the pitot's breaking off it. I mean, you know, so you've got to buy an etrog from a reliable source. That's the ikar of the story. Now, some practical issues here on the etrog itself. So the etrog, there are two big problems in the etrog. Okay, besides for the pitot breaking off, even the pitot breaking off, we'll see in a moment that there's a lot of kulas about the pitot breaking off, which I was quite surprised about. But this was called chazazit. Now, chazazit, we learned this in the Gemara. We said, yeah, chazazit is like this, like a rash. Okay, that's a big problem on the etrog. Okay? Chazazit. Now, another thing that's mentioned that's important about the etrog is that, if you're from the Gemara period over here, you've got the chotam, this top part of the etrog. You see where it like slants down, and then it's basically more or less straight? The part that like becomes narrower. Can you see the top part? At that area over there, can you see that's like, it's almost like a triangle, and then it starts, you can argue with that line's there or there, okay? But bottom line is that area we're much more particular about than the rest of the etrog. For the simple reason is that when you hold it, that's the part you see the most, because it's facing you from all directions, you get a better view. So that's where we're more machmir, we'll see in a moment, about the dots and black things, etc. But again, if your etrog looks like that, so it's a pasul etrog. Because not hetrog, not beautiful etrog. Yeah, what etrog has to be hidur, has to be look nice as well. So it's got these like rashes all over the show. If it's got a little bit of a rash under the line there, it doesn't pasul it. Little block dots over here under this line doesn't pasul it. On the line, we're much more machmir. So we'll see just a couple of dinim on those things over here. Now, Shulchan Aruch says over here on 18. Well, let's go look at Masechet Sukkah there. Alta chazit, right? So davar zir rabbeinu agadol amru amakom yeh b'shor. When we saw in Gemara, right? Rav Chizna, this is that we are rabba, right? Loshna elu makom echad, aval b'shtayim v'shosha makomot kasher. If the rashes are split up all over the show, like a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, not a problem. If it's one big place and together, it's a problem. Look at the Shulchan Aruch over here. Alta chazazit alav. He's got the luxury of like this rash. Im b'shnayim v'shosha makomot pasul. Makom echad. Im ala arubo pasul. One place, but it's more majority, it's pasul. Im al chotamo, if it's at the top, afilu kosh, a little bit pasul. Okay, that's the part that goes down. We're very machmir about what's on there. A little bit of rash on there, ois. If it's on the other parts of the etrog, depends how big it is, if it's one, two, or three pieces, if it's covering the most of it, okay. Right? Then let's look over here. The Mishnah Berurah is quite lenient over here. Look at here, he says, "Ibnit pashet mehem gam letzara sheni mikri rubo dhabe rov hekefo afabish ena rubo shekoykev." We don't actually have to have the majority of the whole etrog, but the majority of the side. So if you hold an etrog, the majority of that side's got this like ration, it's puzzle. Then you don't look at it and look all over. And, okay, that's the one thing. But he says over here, and the labush, okay, let's read the summary of it. It's a very good summary here on page 290. So on the blossom end, where it begins to slope inwards, forbidden to have even a single elevated spot. On the rest of the etrog, it remains better with one or two spots. If there are three spots, they do not cover the majority of the girth of the etrog, it's okay. Even if they cover the majority of the birth of the girth, it's invalid. So you can use a bit of discretion over here. If you see that it's not covering the whole etrog in a couple of spots, doesn't pass on the etrog, unless it's on the top part. That top part, pasul. Okay? You've got this chazazit at rash, but then what they call bleklach. You know, the term bleklach? Like little like things that like stick out of the etrog. Like mainly they come from leaf grows on them, and you know, like all like the way that it's grown, etc. So in other words, look here, boy like blemish on its chazazit. Owns the etrog and valley, if it's raised from the surface of the etrog and can be felt to the hand. If another type of blemish is commonly known as here, bleklach, or banan. These blemishes are marks by when a leaf rests upon the etrog while it's growing on the tree. The bletlach are common to etrog, have not rendered them invalid. The Maril and Truman Adesh and all argue about the different reasons. One is because of Hidur. It's because of more confound etrog. The Ramasas. Okay, bottom line is that these bletlach, people are very machmir on these things without realizing it. If it's part of the natural growth of how the etrog grew, it doesn't pass to the etrog. Our problem is things that are not natural to the etrog. See, when the etrog is growing on the tree, there's a leaf on it, that's got a bit of a marker with the leaf on it, doesn't make it a puzzle. Okay? It might be the nice looking etrog, doesn't make it a puzzle. Look here on page 291 as well. When pushing the etrog, some will meticulously scrutinize, inspect the etrog, paying special attention to the smallest of dots. What is the status of these dots? At what point does the dot become a problem? So Shulchan Aruch says like this, that any small change in the appearance on the blossom side of the etrog, that's the top, right? Such a small black dot, like we said. So we're going to look at the etrog in a normal way. You have to look at what's visible. It's like, I've seen this myself, not so much lately, but when I was in yeshiva like 25 years ago, and I made this little mesh sharim, they'd open up and sell like really expensive etrog, and they had guys sitting there with like those diamond, what's it called? a loop, and like inspecting it. Okay, it's nice, but the idea is you got to see what you look with your naked eye. Look in the etrog, how does it look? You have to now start, you don't have to bring a stethoscope and listen to the etrog sounds inside or to do a CT on the etrog and see what's inside. Yeah, you can look at the etrog.
Huh?
Okay, right, so, all right. That's what he said before, but okay, so we got the idea over there. Look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav over here. The Alter Rebbe says like this. מכל מקום אפילו בחותמו אין החזית פוסל אלא אם כן יש פה שתי אבבואות לא פחות right שפחות מכן אין יקרה. He says even on the blossom, that's the top end, we speak about, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he says even if you got it there, it doesn't posel the etrog unless there are two like bubbles on it, whoosh you near in the eye, and you got to be able to see them כשאוחזו בידו ולא שצריך לשים עין יונו עליהם עד שיראים וכן כל שינוי מראה לפוסל אלא אם כן יראה לרוב בני אדם. Says you got a whole day to hold the etrog. Most people have to see it. You don't look scrupulous. You look at the etrog like this. Ah, it's pasul. I know I'm making a joke of it, right? But it happens. I mean, look, we're very blessed today. Let's be honest. You buy the most mahudar etrog and lulav set for 125 shekels. You know, it's not money. But I don't know about you. And I was growing up, we had about maybe in a shul of, I don't know, 700 families. Maybe 40 lulavim in the shul. They used to come from Israel, and remember? There used to be a bucket there, and there were like 40 lulavim etrogim there, and people used to share them, and they used to cost a fortune. You never gave your 7-year-old kid a set of lulavim etrog. You didn't give your married 25-year-old kid a set of lulavim etrog. So it's a different story altogether, you know? Today, we can afford to be machmir. That's true. But still, we have to understand what we're talking about. Okay. So it says over here. Sorry? Right, so now we're moving out onto the pitum. So now we've got the pitum. Remember, the pitum is this part of the etrog over here. Pitum, whatever you call it, how you pronounce it. Right? Each person can pronounce it how they want. This top, this is the pitum over here. Right? So now today, the etrogim today, the common ones, at least that I know, are you buy them now without a pitum. They've got an internal pitum, right? Because it's safe, they don't break off, whatever. So we're discussing as well the lulav, the same story. Now, there's some of these hidurim are hidurim for the whole of Sukkot, and some of them are only for the first day. So what I don't think we mentioned of it over here, but I'm not sure where I saw it, but there was an interesting opinion over here of was it the Mishnah Brura? Or I don't know where it was, maybe the Bir Hetev, he spoke about it, the usage of the lulav and the etrog. That you know that that's during Yontif it breaks off, etc., and it starts getting worn out and starts looking bad. So he actually says an interesting thing there. He says it seems like it actually looks nice because it shows that you've been using your lulav and etrog properly, and it's like a sign of, like almost like a badge of what do you call it, like a of honor. You know that it's been maybe we'll come across it, but the thing is with a pitom like this, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that if you haven't got a pitom, right? So then basically it is pas. Look at Shulchan Aruch Avia, 28 page 293. Nital dadov who are rosh katan sheshon tobo. You've got two parts over here, right? You've got this like piece over here, and then you've got the little top budding on the top there. Can you see? It's two things. So the difference if that's just broken off. If you see over here, nitla pitam to. Can you see that? It's been taken out. Look at picture 480 as you got the pictures. Right? If you look over there, you'll see like the whole thing's out and there's a hole inside it. Right? That's the one thing, as opposed to just like over here, for example, where the pitam's cut off but it's not broken out. Right? They're two different things. So look at the short article, it says like this. He says, nit'al dado, right? The tip, right? And that is the small head of Yarosha Katan, that sheshoshantobo, that the knob is on it, right? So if that bottom piece is broken, it holds the knob, then it's completely pasul. That's the Shulchan of the Ramah says, v'yesh machmirim im natla shoshanta. And some of machmir, even just the top part breaks off. The actual piece is still in, but that like round knob breaks off. So machmir on that as well. The Shulchan Aruch says only if the actual whole pitum breaks out. The Ramah says, oh, machmir, just the top breaks off. That's why it's safer to have one without it, right? Tanu she'enu korin pitma, she'enu what we call the pitma, v'tov lachmir makom she'enu, the ramasi should be machmir. Say, ever inyan dina, any if solim can itel hadar, hadar, if the whole thing's barakulut, ha'enu ha'etz she'rosh ha'pitma lav, v'ha'erosh nikra shoshanta, v'kol zidav kishnit lav, but im lo ya lo dad be'olam, if never had a dad be'olam, like the pitom ones we done, that we bought today, kasher, look at the ramasis, v'chein rov ha'etrogim she'mevi'im be'meninot elu. He says the majority of the etrogim in his time already never had a pitom, which I'm blown away by, because as a kid, all the etrogim had a pitom. It was much later on, eh? Am I right?
Yeah.
Much later on, we started getting these etrogim without a pitom. The rabbis were talking about in the 1560s that they never had, that they really never had, had a pitom. Okay.
What source?
28. Right? Look at the end of the end in English. He says, look at that. The Ramah says, but if never a tip at all, it is valid, and that is the case of most children that are brought into these regions. So it's amazing. All right. So now we've discussed with regards to the lulav, if that pop was broken off. We said that was called chaser. There's a difference between being broken and lacking. Chaser means it isn't, doesn't exist. So if it's a lulav or etrog, which is chaser, missing or something, it's different to a lulav that's got a little piece broken off to it, but still the lulav is there, to the lulav not being intact anymore, the etrog not being intact anymore. It's like this, the Ramah says, yeah, v'nita'o pitam to'o katso, dino ke chaser. It's like lacking, and then kasher miyom rishon v'erach, after the first day. The first day is not kosher. But if you use it on the, if you use the matter brocha, and the etrog was intact on the first day, and then after when a brocha broke, you can carry making a brocha the rest of sukkahs. You have to chuck the etrog away. Again, people, a lot of people think that that's it. Pass the etrog and use it. Right? You can. Okay, Mishnah Berurah says like this. Okay, let's leave the Mishnah Berurah. Right? Go to Mishnah Berurah. Even on the first day. Now again, don't get me wrong. I'm not a big makil, and like I said, we're blessed that we can be machmir today, and you can replace your etrog for 50 shekels. So I'm not just saying, you know, I'm a bit of a zalzia, but it's important to know these things as well. Look at the Mishnah Berurah here on 31. It says, Pasul, why is it Pasul from Shul Arut? Havelek chaser, v'neim lashon, nital hadad mash v'nital ha'etz, af mash takor betoch etrog v'naseh, shem sham kmo guma. It says, it's like a hole in it. Ulefichach Pasul, aval im nital rak mash lemala min ha'etrog, if just the top part, that like a little a bubble on the top, ein lachmir v'chein skim ataz, the dinis as well. Aval yesh min ha'poskim, shmesanach, that should be machmir, afilu im nitarak lemala min ha'etrog, if just the top was broken up, v'sovrim, dala have bichlal chesed, He quotes the Ramah. He says you should be machmir. The people say you should be machmir, but you can rely on the Ramah. If it isn't, if it's broken, it can be right. Look at the Mishnah Berurah there. If the whole thing is removed completely and it's got a hole in it, right? It says dehu bichlal chaser imushat tadchak. Says if it's she'ein acher ba'ir, if it's the only etrog you're in town, right? So what do you do, right? We heard Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. We said over there we had the Yabitz. We had we quoted his sefer, which was it? Bemoring Ktsia. Ktsia. That's it. Was right. Rabbi Yaakov Emden. His father was the Chacham Tzvi. So he writes over here. He says that in one of his tshuvas that she'achol v'rechla afilu b'yom rishon. Even on the first day, you could make a brocha on it. So even b'di'eved. If it's the only one you've got, you make a brocha on Yontif, even that the whole thing's pitot broken off. Amazing. I think it was amazing to do that. It says, why? It says, Kavan Shemeshalat Chak, ita b'sof simen tav shemem, shemabarachin afilu apsulin negamre, kosh yam ezeh shiyutalu b'shitat harishonim kvar b'bet Yosef. It says, because some people say, even pasul you make a brocha, what do you mean to do? Pitot mov v'nasi guv v'ein achar v'ir, gam yachol v'rech ala afilu b'yom mishon the first day. Okay, so that was, I think, quite interesting. Now we get on to, so we've done the lulav, done the etrog. See, Mekar Adin, the Lulav should be, we haven't discussed the size, we've discussed it up here, maybe with the Arabas and the Hadassim. We'll see in a moment, there's also a minimum size, which we haven't discussed. But the Hadassim and the Aravot, okay, this is proper, for all the guys who did Masechet Sukkah recently, I didn't choose the subject, okay? But Bidach Hazor never hurt anybody. It says over here, when it comes to the Hadassim, so the Hadass, the Torah calls the Hadass, eight, what's it, Arvot, eight, what's the pasuk say? I couldn't get this right. All of us have sukkah. When I cast in the by Yom Rishon, kapot marim priets adar eitz av priets adar kapot rim. What's it? What's it? Anaf eitz avot. Anaf Eitz Avot means Anaf is a branch. Eitz Avot, thick, like Ave, like a thick branch. So why is it called thick? Because you know the Hadas leaves are like they're like quite thick. If you look at the leaves, as opposed to like not just like very flimsy, they got substance, right? They got body. The leaves around them, and they're like threes, and they take up the whole thing, and they grow into each other. That's Eitz Avot. It has to be thick. See, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shiur Hadas V'Arava Shlosha. So the Arava, the length of the Arava and the Hadas are three tvachim high. That's about 24, right? 24 centimeters, is that right? Is it 8 centimeters? Yeah. Anything? Yeah. 24 centimeters, according to Rav Chaim. Yeah, 30 centimeters, according to the Chazal Shaka. So about 24 centimeters, we say 8 centimeters, I think. Right? And the lulav is arba. The lulav is an extra one. The extra 8 centimeters above that. Kadeshi, yeah, lulav, you're saying in Hadas Tefach, Baskar Tefach. The question now is the whole lulav a tefach, or is it the actual... Is it an extra tefach? Bottom line is the lulav should be higher than the hadas and the arovas. Hadas and arovas are the same length. Each isn't mentioned over here. Remember that the hadas is on the right hand side and the arovas on the left hand side. And when you hold the lulav, you hold it with the spine facing you. I think, am I right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You do, right? Hold the spine facing you, the hadas on the right and the arovas on the left. Important. Then you hold them, and the etrog in your left hand, put them together. Okay, so the three of them go in your right hand, and then etrog in your left hand. If you're right, left hand, I suppose, the other way around. I'm not sure, maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, I think you do. All right. So that's the heart of the Mavia. And it says, Rabbi Parnach, Amar Yochanan, Shidrosh, Shterosh, Lulav, Tzurich, Shiatzem, and Adas Tefach, the spine. So that's a question. According to the opinion over there, it's not the whole Lulav, it's just the spine, and then on top of that, still the leaves. Remember, we saw here in the Lulav that the leaves grow above the spine, correct? So according to that, okay, I'll open this up. Do you want this over here? According to that, here we go. There is the lulav, right? So the spine has to be from there. Has to be a tefach above the hadas and the arova, and then you still have the leaves above it. So that's the spine. Okay. So that is Actually, you can see that very nicely there. There's the spine ends over there. So the spine must be a tefach above. And then you still got more than a tefach above the rest of the leaves. Okay, so that's what. All right.
What's the number?
That number of that picture is number 399, 400. One of the pictures over there, 300 and 400. Okay, then another picture. Okay, so now. So he says again, if the leaves are the hadas, let's say for example, you see over there that the hadas leaves are above the branch, right? So the leaves, we don't count the leaves, we've got to count the actual branch, the stem of the hadas has to be at three tvachim, not the branch. I know I'm going over time now, sorry. Okay, let's just go very quickly. Another very important halacha over here is the density. We spoke about it's called Eitz Anaf Eitz Avot, right? So if you look over here, you'll see that what makes this arova special is the tightness of it. You see that each leaf grows into the other leaf, and there are three. We see machloka where we want three. We want ideally to have three all growing like out of the same little spot, but two and one's also okay. Question is, how many do you have to have? There's a machloka now. Whether if most of that's missing, if you've got most of the tree's got leaves, but say a third of this of the tree of the branch hasn't got any leaves, so that seems to be okay. We'll see the opinion in a moment. There's another opinion that if out of every three only two are there, it also could be mutar. The question is, can we take both kulas and use them together? Can we say if most of the branch has got at least two on every three? Okay, that's a question. I'll look at now. We'll see that in a second. So look over here. He says that eitz kasher and avot pasul. If it's eitz avot kasher, thick not. Actually, what's the Gemara says here? Basichat Sukkot Amabet 39 over here on page 297. Actually, what's called avot? I'm a good avahu that came a clatter trafe bekinah three at a time. Rav Kahana says afilu trei v'chad even two and one. Okay, then remember the Rav Kahana, right? So now Rashi over here on that Gemara says on 41 here on page I skipped over here 298. He says over here, Shlosha alin bekan echad yotzin mitoch oketz echad. Shlosha alin bekan echad, sorry. And all three come out, they like sprout out. That's what Rashi wants. Tosfot says no. Look at Tosfot here on 42. In the middle of the Tosfot there, he says, V'chumre gedolu, he quotes Rashi. He says, is it impossible? He says, the animatzuya doesn't exist. Like, you know, I don't know, with kids you see like a four-leaf clover. You remember such a thing? Like, or like a big, if you found it, you would be like blessed. Yeah. No, no such thing as a four-leaf clover. Nah, very impossible to find.
No,
it's only, in fairy tales. I promise you, we spent hours with four-leaf clovers. Nothing is a four-leaf clover. There might be one or two deformed four-leaf clovers as a rule, but I mean, there's no plants that are really four-leaf clovers. But everyone spends a lot of four-leaf clovers. So it's a lab deal. He says over here, but Steve's still not, Steve's convinced there's a four-leaf clover. Sorry, there isn't. Okay. One. I agree with you. I've also seen one. But it's a deformation. It's a deformation. It's like exceptionally rare. That, He says, maybe they're all together. They look like they're coming together. Bottom line is you have to wait. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Right? Now, with this triple idea, with this three things. Look at this. Anaf eitz avot tamur b'torah, with the Torah, anaf eitz avot, hu adas shal, she'elav chofin et atzo, that they cover up the whole leaf. Kegon shlosha halin or yoter, three or more, begivol echad on one stem. Aber ima yu shnei halin b'shavet, three at zeke neged zeh, balei ashtishi lemale b'hem, ein zeh avot aval nikra hadashotei. See, they grow like two over here, and one over there, that's called an hadashotei, it's not a kosher hadas. It's a foolish hadas. Okay, look at the Ramah over here. He says, "Upashla filu b'shat chakion yideva." The command I'm going to give the kasher. Some say, "Iba alken noagin be'elo medino dechachil latzep elo adasim movin be'en gibo ali be'vachem." V'yesh mishlav dehasim shlano eni krim adas shote hoil v'hem shnayim agav shnayim v'ena kadas shote muskav gemara. L'chein nagul lahakel k'mo shiktav ha'mari. He says, "Mari kalona over here." That's the Marik. He says that there's some people who say that it's not called adas shote, the ones that we have, because they got two leaves on top of two, and aren't like the adas shote, which got two and one, and therefore there's place to be makil. Okay, that's what he wants to say over here. But remember, Tosfot said it's a chumra. Tosfot, look at Mishnah Berurah. But give all echad, he says, on one stem. So, lemar b'chol kan can you use smuchim? They're going to be close to each other, but you gul around the whole thing. She'ain echad namuch b'chaver afbi shekol echad b'chol. Even they grow separately, they aren't grow out of one. As long as they're like clustered around one another, they're okay. So we can see we're pretty make there as well. The two Shulchan Aruch says like this: the Turon or Echaim. Says the Gaonim say that they have to have a whole shir orech hadas avot v'im lav pasu. Rather, the whole length. Remember, I said you have a game to Ishkwe now. The question is, so we know now we need the avot. We know they have to be three at least, or in clusters. The question is, do we have to have it on the whole stem or not? So the Gaonim say they have to be on the whole stem. And if not, it's pasu. So which you've got a 3 tfachim. The whole 3 tfachim have to be full of flowers, otherwise it's pasu. Right? Ubala itur. Right? He says, no, even if it's ein borak pa'amachat kimu b'chad kinakashir v'chach the Rambam. He says, even if it's one of them that's complete, it's enough. And that's what the Rambam says then. And the Torah says, v'aroni aviarosh, zal hichriya kadivre harayved, de la mitzvah, really, in an ideal sense, ba'inan kol ashir avot, that should all be. Ha'ili kuva, it's rov. Right? As long as the majority. So he says, in other words, we learn from the Ravid over here, if you got three tvachim, if one and a half and a bit tvachim have got flowers on them, and the rest is all completely empty, it's kosher. Leaves. Okay, flower. Okay, Shulchan Aruch says like this. He basically says it should be okay, but he ends up quoting the Ittur like the Rambam, says at least the Ravid, at least the majority. And the Ramah says, afilu ein berosho, even isn't at the top, anywhere it could be. Okay? So now, look at the right Mishnah Berurah over here. It's like it's Uli Kuva Barov. It says, Badasha you bekol shiur or kol gimel ali bechol ken ben nashar ale echat mikol ken barov shiur or ech adas. He has the proof. He says, now what happens if he says, if the adas that's got the whole shiur of the whole gimel, on every one of them, one fell off, so only now two out of the three. But berov shiur orech adash yesh bazir plug to ben arishonim. Now, but what happens if we want to use both kulas? Do we want to say that two out of three, as long as it's on the majority of the plant, you've got the kula of the amount of flowers and the kula of how far it is. It says there, he says yesh plugta. Yesh machshirin the kavan nishar shtam v'kol ken, right? And the yesh psulin. Okay, so there's a machloka between the two of them. What the story is. If you look over here on page 303, the Bir Lacha and Mishnah Berurah here, he quotes over at the end there. He says, "V'nara iti lecha bin achron v'mashma mitdvarav diyesh lachshir gam bofen zeh v'chen mashma michal chaya adam." He says, some say you can be yotzer with both the kulas. So achen anutati my humble opinion, tarich inu, we have to study this carefully. The minayin lomar, the nachshir b'chol echad batarova, Bein inyan rochvo, bein inyan orko. Where does it say that we could go after rov? Both regards to the rochav, the amount of flowers, and the length. Seems like he's taking all the kulis and putting them all together. He says, v'day lanu im nakel ka'ra'ah. He says, l'achshir im chaser alev. It's like the ra'ah. Right, some people say there are air, by the way, that's Aaron Alevi, that he was the author of the Sefer HaChinuch, but I think today people know that he wasn't. Okay, but, for a long time he was considered the author of Sefer HaChinuch. So over here, that one of them. Or, he says, all I could arrive at. In other words, choose one of them and rather do it up last. Okay, so that's quick now with regards to drying up. So, with regards to drying up, just by the way, that dust pretty dry, still kosher. Okay, to the extent that unless you scratch with your finger, the whole thing crumbles up, it's still a kosher dust. Okay, we like to have, again, they're cheap, we change them, but you should know that they can be pretty dry for them to be, before they get puzzled. Okay, quickly, end up over here with our rovers. Let's end up very quickly. Okay, we're going to just try and do it in 2-3 minutes, we're finished. So, again, our rovers as well, like we said, should be a 3 tvachim high. And now, with regard to the arova, the simanim of the arova, that's the willow tree, is quite interesting. And we'll see over here that. There's the simanim as well. Look what it says over here. The Shulchan Aruch is like this. Arve nachal hamur b'torah, when the Torah speaks about this willow from a stream, hu min yadua hanikra ken, and what is it? Ale shelo mashuch kenachal. The leaf is like long and narrow and stretched out like a river. Okay, as opposed to, you get some willows that look like that, by the way. More like a clover, actually. It's also called a willow. That's not the willow of the Torah. Right, remember that one over there, right? It's more stretched out, he says. That's the one side. Then, upiv chalak, the ends, the sides, are smooth and not serrated. Your willow trees have got like a serrate, like a teeth on the edges. The teeth must be smooth. He says, and the third sign is, the kanesh lo adom. And you want the stem to be like a red color. Now, if it's not 100% red, it's also okay, because sometimes you buy them, they cut them before they're like fully ripe. And then they're a little bit greener, but that's the ikar. Okay, the Ramah says the filu b'odi yarok kasher. The Ramah says they're still a little bit green. It's also okay. So that's it. Also those are the three simanim of the arovas. And again, dried arovas, that's a big issue, especially in Israel, because it's very, very hot during Sukkot, and arovas dry up very, very quickly. Like in 2-3 hours, they dried up. Kashuch aruch aviyah from Orech Chaim Tafresh Mim Zayin says like this: Arava sheyavsha or shenashu rov aleya. That's dried up, or most of his leaves have fallen off. Or she niktam rosho, or the head chopped off, psula. Aval, they're pasul. Aval, kumusha. Right? He says that it's like withered away. Or some of the leaves have fallen off, it's still kosher. Varambam, machshir, beniktam rosho. The Rambam says if it's chopped off the head, it's still kosher. Okay, so you can see again that there's place to be very makel here. If you obviously, we're lucky, like I said, we got them all the time. The Mishnah Berurah is like it's about cutting off the head. Okay, behind you, I don't have it just most of the time, but let's look over here the issue of its leaves falling off. Look at the last halacha there, Mishnah Berurah there on page 307, Mishnah Berurah 58. He says, Rova lea, Haile Bashiur, he says over here, when we're speaking of the Haile Bashiur, Gimel Tvachim Shel Arova, 3 Tvachim of the Arova. That's what we say, the majority of 3 Tvachim, right? Im nidaldelu alea miyakane, or shnizdaku alea, or shnechleku, they split off, or they've like cracked off, what the case is. Tara the Magi Misha, shizeh mikri nifritzu alea psula. They pasu. The cause yarnim barova alea hu kach. If it's the majority of the leaves. Kachatava Magad Abraham, yesh lachmir kumoto da haravot mitsuyot. He says, again, because they're so common, even in his day, they were so common, you should be machmir. Okay, the Ramah ends and it says, okay, I think that's a good place to stop. Got a pretty good idea. Yeah, women are baminim. Okay, it's a mitzvah, that's a shazban grammar. So the women aren't really chayiv in it, right? But Ashkenazim, we know that if they do it, so even the Pnina Halacha writes over here, but we know in Ashkenazi, make a brocha, Svarim, they make a brocha on a minag. So Ashkenazi wouldn't want to do Lulav Netrog, we'll make a brocha, and they're fulfilling a mitzvah, and you should all be zochet to really use Lulav Netrog. And have a good Sukkot.